Hi, I'm Florin Mark, and welcome to Remarkable Woman. Remarkable women are everywhere. Some are in the headlines, and others stay behind the scenes, touching the lives of others and making a real difference in their communities. So join me here each week and meet moms, doctors, entertainers, writers, artists, CEOs, journalists, neighbors, and friends. They are women that I want to know and that I want you to know too. Good morning. My guest today is Celeste Briggs. Celeste is the director of the Women's Retail Network and Diverse Dealer Programs for General Motors. Under her 15-year tenure, she's been at the forefront of increasing the female presence in the automotive industry by attracting women into the GM retail organization and making the dealership environment attractive to female customers and the employees. She's been honored with many, many awards, including the 2015 Women's Automotive Association International Spirit of Leadership Award and the 2016 Northwood University's Distinguished Women's Award. Celeste, I'm so honored to have you on the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You do so much for women, and especially women in business, that it's just terrific, and we just need more women like you. You're fabulous. And I want to find out a little bit about you. Where were you born?
Well, Florine, it's a pleasure to be here with you today. I am a native Detroiter, born and raised and educated in the city of Detroit, and I'm a resident at this time.
Really? You're living in Detroit now?
I live in Detroit.
Where were you born? Like, I was born on Elmhurst and Linwood in northwest Detroit.
Let's see. We started off on Collingwood.
Okay. I know exactly where that is.
And,
right.
And moved to northwest Detroit in the late 60s.
And mother, father, sisters, brothers?
I have my mother and father are still living and very active. My mom's from Starkville, Mississippi. My dad's from Steubenville, Ohio. So they're not native Detroiters, but this is where I was born and raised. And I have one brother who lives in New York who's an opera singer.
An opera singer? Do you sing, Celeste?
In the shower.
Who sings? Who has all this musical ability in your?
It's my mother's side of the family.
Your mother?
Yeah, my dad. Actually, my mother and father met at University of Toledo in the choir.
What did your father do that brought him to Detroit?
Well, they both left University of Toledo around 1955 and settled in Detroit. They didn't know each other at the time. I mean, they met there, but separate paths, and they met again in Detroit and were married in 57, but came to Detroit seeking opportunity like many people at that time.
So what did your father and mother do? What did they graduated University of Toledo with what kind of degrees?
Well, actually, they left University of Toledo. They just ran out of money. Had to start working. So they ended up moving to Detroit seeking opportunity. My mother retired from Chevrolet Motor Division in 1993. She was in finance, and my dad was a hospital administrator at Southwest Detroit Hospital, which was a merger of all the black hospitals in Detroit. And they built a brand new hospital, state-of-the-art, in the early 70s in Southwest Detroit.
Did they ever go back and get their degrees?
No, they were unable to.
And they didn't have to, right?
Well, they worked hard.
Right. And what high school and what schools did you go to in Detroit?
Let's see. My last elementary school was Bagley.
Bagley?
Hampton. Junior High and the amazing Cass Tech.
Oh, my goodness. Cass Tech. What a fabulous, fabulous school. With the most fabulous principal, Lisa Phillips, in the whole world. Mm-hmm. She's such a wonderful, wonderful person. So did you like going to school? I mean, were you a good student?
I really hit my stride when I got to college. I did graduate. I was the only person in my, we had curriculums at Cass, and I was in housing and interior design. Of all the 40 curriculums offered at that time, I was the only person in it. I went on to Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia. Graduated in 1981 and
with a degree in
English.
In English. Well, what yes. happened to the interior design?
I have a passion for art.
Okay.
But really was headed more toward either the law or business, which is where I ended up in sales and marketing.
With English, maybe you didn't want to be a teacher, right?
No.
Okay. So you graduated and you had this degree in English, and so what'd you do?
After college, I actually had a couple of outside sales jobs before joining Chevrolet Motor Division in 1984 as a district manager.
So you've been with Chevrolet a long time.
Yes.
With GM, right.
Mm-hmm.
So Tell me, when did romance come in there?
Oh, goodness. This is my husband of now, let's see, 13 years. We've been married 13 years. We have a blended family. I have two daughters and he has three, so we have five girls. You know, it just and we're very proud of all of them.
Of course. Of course, of course, of course. So you had, you got married when you were younger and had what, three girls?
Two daughters, yes.
Two daughters, mm-hmm. and then got divorced and went on and then remarried. Mm-hmm. And what, is your husband also in the automotive company?
No, he's actually retired communications. He was Butterball Jr. on WCHB in Detroit.
Yo, I don't remember that, but he was a...
Big Motown era guy and had an amazing career, 14 years on WCHB. Program manager for WJZZ, and then went on to Barden Cable. He and Don Barden founded Barden Cablevision.
Really? Mm-hmm. You know, I was a speaker at Don Barden's funeral. Were you at the funeral?
We were there.
Then you must have remembered me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a green suit on.
Mm-hmm.
And because I thought, you know, it's going to be a wonderful funeral, and everybody should be colorful and really celebrate Don's life. And I'm sitting next to Reggie Jackson and who else were there? Aretha Franklin, who all these mm-hmm. big people. And I look out and everybody is wearing black. But me, I'm wearing green. And I thought, oh my God, I couldn't wait to get off the dais. I couldn't wait to get off there. But Don was he was like a mentor. He was very instrumental in helping me. I was the first woman on Business Leaders. Well, actually, at that time it was Renaissance. The Renaissance, which was a business leaders in the city of Detroit, like Don and the Fords and the Illiches and all the mm-hmm. rest. And they needed a token woman. So I was supposed to be there and be a token woman. But, you know, that's very hard for me to do, is be a token anything. But I'll never forget Don Barden. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget Don. Anyways, so your dad was his partner.
No, my husband.
Your
my
husband was his partner.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they founded the cable company and then went on to do some other investments in the city. And so he is happily retired to this day, but not idle.
Not idle. Tell me about your five daughters. Are they all grown and out of the house?
They are out of the house. We have two, the youngest two, my youngest and my husband's youngest, one's in Bay City, there's Colorado, one's in Miami, one's in St. Louis, Lansing, and that makes for the five, and they're all doing different things.
Any of them in business like you or your husband? No.
Actually, no, they're not.
You got all professionals then instead.
Yeah. One artist in the bunch.
Oh, an artist?
Yes.
Oh, one of your daughters is an artist?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is she in New York?
No, that's the one that's in Bay City. She's still in school.
Oh, she's still in school.
Saginaw Valley, a ceramicist, and there's not a medium she hasn't touched that she hasn't excelled in.
Oh, well, we're going to look forward to the next big artist and Miss mm-hmm. Biggs, right? What's her first name?
Corinne.
Corinne Biggs. Well, everybody out there, remember, you're going to look for Corinne Biggs in about 5-10 years. You'll see all of her good work. So what was your first job like at GM?
I started off as a district sales manager. So you have an assigned territory of dealers that you contact and it was in South Georgia.
Georgia?
Yes.
Well, you were living in Detroit.
Yeah, I have transferred 7 times with GM, which is not unusual for someone who was in the field.
Well, you were single at the time you were doing this?
No.
You were married to the husband that you're married to now?
No.
To the first husband?
To the first husband.
Did he move with, what did he do?
He was in the military at the time, so we were kind of bi-coastal.
So. And did he move with you or did you?
Eventually, yes. Yeah.
That must have been very difficult.
You know, it's a matter of choice. You know, it was where the career was taking me, and there were some really wonderful opportunities, you know, for the family. So mm-hmm. that's how we worked it out.
How old were your kids, girls, at the time?
They were born in Atlanta on the last transfer between Detroit and Atlanta.
They started school there?
No, we finally came back to Michigan, and they went through their whole education here in Detroit.
So you did not have children until... you finished traveling for your career, right?
Pretty much.
You were going around to all the to the dealerships, and what was your job? What were you supposed to do there for
them? Well, basically, you know, it's like a client services role. You know, you're supporting the dealers, you're representing General Motors, selling products and services, and really being the liaison between the factory and the dealer. And so that's really where my career began in terms of I've spent my entire 33 years with GM with dealers.
Dealers?
Yes.
Okay. How did you, when you applied for a job, you got to HR, I mean, how did you had a degree in English and how did they put you into this job?
I had actually been in outside sales with two organizations before I came to General Motors and was very intrigued by this. I'm a car girl by heart. And really, you know, that was where my passion lay.
Okay, so here you are, and you finally came back. You brought your kids here. Your kids, you live in the city of Detroit, mm-hmm. and your kids are going to school in the city of Detroit?
They both, one graduated from Cass Tech. The other one graduated from Detroit School of the Arts back in the mid-2000s.
My guest today is Celeste Briggs. Celeste is the director of the Women's Retail Network and Diverse Dealer Programs for General Motors. Under her 15-year tenure, she has been at the forefront of increasing the female presence in the automotive industry by attracting women into the GM retail organization and making the dealership environment attractive to female customers and employees. She's been honored with many awards, including the 2015 Women's Automotive Association International Spirit of Leadership Award and the 2016 Northwood University Distinguished Women's Award. Now, it's you say that you are attracting women to go into the retail organization. What is the retail part? They're not actually working in GM on the cars or design or any of that. Mm-hmm. What is the retail, does that mean by selling the cars at the dealership or getting a dealership? What is that?
Well, our first priority with the Women's Retail Network is to grow the number of women as dealers representing GM in the marketplace. Currently, we have 250 women dealers in the U.S. and about 25 in Canada. And we work with them to also bring on that next generation of dealers, and they'll probably start off on the retail sales floor in the service department. We're trying to grow their ranks. When you think about the influence that the female customer has in the buying transaction, whether it's sales or service, about 85% of that transaction is influenced by a woman. 40% of them we know are purchased directly by women. About 65% of the service business is done by women. So why shouldn't that retail environment look like the customer that it serves?
Did I hear you say 255 women dealerships throughout the United States?
Yeah, 250 women dealers, women-owned businesses.
Women-owned dealerships,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They were originally owned all by men. Did you retire the men or let them build new dealerships? So you had 250 new dealerships.
Well, it's a combination of all of that. I'd say about 60% of our new dealers are taking on a family business of an existing dealership. We have women who are coming from other manufacturers who are dealers with Ford or Chrysler or some other nameplate. But the thing is that we're about cultural change. Years ago, it would be unheard of for a woman to take over her family-owned business. Today, after we've been doing this business now, this is our 16th year, I have fathers who now call me and say, I don't have sons. How do I get her ready to be the dealer? And that's a real change.
And how do they do that?
Well, we encourage them, first of all, to go to college and also to be actively working in the business. It's not enough to have a title.
You mean selling?
Selling, servicing, running the business,
well,
the
operation. What are you servicing? Are you actually saying mechanical servicing? Servicing the cars or?
Servicing the customers. I'd say it would be the rare exception to have a daughter who's a technician, but it could happen.
So they are actually on the floors and they're learning the business, right?
Yes.
Is this something in college that they should go to business school for?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we even offer a scholarship called Drive to Succeed, where we're really encouraging women who may be on their educational journey to end up in automotive retail. We have a scholarship that we've offered now. This is our seventh year of supporting women either in 4-year degrees, community college programs and technical certifications to go and work in our stores.
Well, if they go for a 2-year technical school, what's the subjects that they're learning? What kind of a degree are they getting?
For the technicians, these are the people who actually work on the cars. And, when you think about a technician, our cars are highly technical now. So it's not, the former thought of a grease monkey, if you would. They need technical expertise to be able to work on these cars. And these are some fantastic skilled labor positions that have no barrier when it comes down to gender. It's all about, having the right skill set.
Do you have women who are not affiliated with the dealership in any way, shape, or form, their father, their family, or anything, that are interested in going into this kind of business?
We have women who we're encouraging to actually come and work in this field. If you look at retail, this is some of the highest paid jobs in terms of all retail offered, on the retail landscape. So in terms of commission, would you rather make commission off an $80 pair of shoes or a $30,000 automobile? Would the service technicians who work at some of your third party service providers are not compensated as well as at an actual retail dealership? So, we're encouraging women to seek these opportunities again because there is no gender barrier. It may be a non-traditional career path, but there's certainly a lot of opportunity for women in this area.
Celeste, how do you do that? How do you attract or market to young women in their 20s that are in college right now? Are there degrees that you can get in automotive dealership, business dealership, or something like that, or sales? Are there degrees you can get in those fields?
Actually, there are. There are some schools around, Northwood being one of them, that has an automotive management degree program. Mm-hmm. Colorado State has an automotive management program, Rutgers University, Penn State. We work with 350 community colleges throughout the United States, community colleges, universities, and technical programs in the U.S. and in Canada as well to really elevate this. And the thing is that if we can break through to high school counselors who may be, deterring someone from looking at this, because this is really a viable career. How often would a person finish school and know that they've got an opportunity waiting for them on the other side? The likelihood of that happening with some of these degrees, mine included, is not a guarantee. I can't say that it is a guarantee, but when I was talking to Dr. Pretty at Northwood, he was explaining to me that most of his automotive management students end up with about 10 job offers. So you think about the return on investment when you're looking at that kind of education.
From dealers?
From dealers, yes.
From dealers, not working for the parent company.
No.
No, from dealers. So
from dealers.
There are a lot of openings at dealerships for salespeople.
Sales, finances, insurance, your general managers, service consultants, some of these things. When we go back to why the Women's Retail Network was founded in the first place.
Yeah. What is the Women's Retail Network?
We did a white paper back in 2000 that looked at the reasons why women were not attracted to automotive retail careers. And we kind of came up with an idea that, she's just not into this for a number of reasons. Women are well suited for this, but really it was the environment that kept them away. Women are great relationship
sellers.
What do you
mean by the environment?
The environment environment within the dealership, the environment within
because it's an all man's
male dominated.
Right.
But if you look at who's actually buying,
absolutely.
Then there's a mismatch. So what do? We're the only manufacturer that has a program dedicated to support our women-owned businesses. It makes no sense to me that 16 years after we were founded that we're still the only people in this space, but that's fine. We're going to continue to advocate for women to have a seat at the table, to be considered if they're qualified to become dealers and represent our products and services. So we wanted to make a cultural shift so that it wasn't just something that a man could do.
Do the dealers, the people that own the dealerships, do they understand this? Do they know how important it is to hire females?
Yes. And one of the things that they'll say is that, we're having a hard time, attracting and then retaining. And so that speaks to that culture, again, inside the business. Is it one that supports a diverse gender-balanced work team.
My guest today is Celeste Briggs. Celeste is the director of the Women's Retail Network and Diverse Dealer Programs for General Motors. Under her 15-year tenure, she's been at the forefront of increasing the female presence in the automotive industry by attracting women into the GM retail organization and making the dealership environment attractive to female customers and employees. She's been honored with many, many awards, including the 2015 Women's Automotive Association International Spirit of Leadership Award and the 2016 Northwood University Distinguished Women's Award. That's where I met Celeste as she was being honored. And Dr. Preddy that she talks about is the president of Northwood Institute, which is in Midland, but it has a satellite store, colleges, offices or colleges, whatever you want to call them, around the country, not just here in Michigan. So women are sought after to go into dealers, to work in dealerships. And it isn't just going on the floor and dealing, trying to sell. It's when you mention insurance and other things, tell me what other kinds of jobs are there in a dealership for a person, not only just a mm-hmm. woman?
Well, there's finance and insurance. You know, that's
now, what does that mean?
That means that once you've made your purchase and you go in and you're going to negotiate your financing terms, you know, how do you actually buy it? And then the associated insurance products that would go along with it. That's a real detail-oriented job. Women seem to do very well in that, and that's a lucrative position in the dealership as well.
Who makes the deal? I come in and I see a car, and here's the price that they're going to give me, and I say, no, I got to have a deal. And I sit and negotiate. Who is a better negotiator? Who's the one that really is going to sell me?
More than likely, it'll be your sales consultant and the sales manager. It depends on how the dealership is run, but usually it's between the sales consultant and the customer, really. And you know, and we have a lot of ways for people to buy. Just like, you know, you buy a lot of things online. You can actually do shop, click, drive on most of our dealers' websites too. So there's a way for you to kind of do some of that upfront looking and touching. And that's one thing that appeals to female customers, and that's the ways that General Motors is looking at addressing the needs and wants of our female consumers. So that's something that we've been, you know, instrumental in helping to
online.
Yes.
Oh, do people actually buy cars online, or do they come into the dealership to buy the car?
You can get pretty far in that whole transactional process online. You know, it depends on, you know, how your financial situation is and whether or not you have your own finance terms. But pretty much you can execute almost all of it.
Pick out the color and the touch and what you want inside.
Almost all of it. Yes, online.
Huh.
And that's in response to what the customers want.
And so what's going to happen? You think dealerships are still going to be around? You're still going to be growing them with all this online buying and all this is happening with all kinds of retail, fashion and all the rest?
I believe so. You know, this is a client service relationship, you know, because what happens after the purchase
right. Is
service. And I think there's no better place to actually have your vehicle. And you think about the size of investment you're making. You don't want to leave it to chance with someone who's not trained to work on your vehicle. So, you know, that's the other side of it. You have more contact with that service department than you will the sales department throughout the lifetime of your ownership.
So this next question I've asked to many, many executives at all the motor car companies, and I never get a good answer, and it's never happened. But let me ask it to you. Maybe you'll understand. I'm a mother of seven. You're a mother of five. And you put those kids, I had five little ones, and in the car, and there is cups, there is Kleenex, there is whatever else. And even if you don't put those kids in the car, even from you stop and get a cup of coffee. What do you do with the cup, et cetera, et cetera. I cannot figure out why any motor car company, none of them, will put a receptacle in their car so that you can put the garbage in. I even spoke to the powers to be and the higher up in all of the motor car companies saying, I'll show you how you make money. You have a little receptacle at a strange size, and you put all the garbage in, and they have to have these plastic bags that go into this receptacle, and the bags can only get them at the dealership. So when you're through, you buy a dozen, you know, a box of bags or whatever else, and you have to go back into the dealership and pick up some and buy some more bags. And then you're there, you see pretty cars and all the rest. And I thought this, you know, it would all even itself out. And nobody, where do you do with your garbage, Celeste?
I'm a kind of a neat freak when it comes down to my car.
So what do you do with the garbage?
I have a small bag that I keep it in. But I'll tell you this. About 4 years ago, I embarked on a project with our Advanced Concepts. It was called The Power of Women. And we were really looking at what kind of the hot button issues were with our female consumers. We brought women in from all over the country out to a research center in Las Vegas and did a blind, you know, interview with about 100 women and talked about some of the things that were those hot button issues. Safety was one of the ones that came to mind.
Absolutely.
And as a result of a lot of customer research, we've been able to incorporate some of those suggestions in our vehicles that are coming out, that actually have come out since we started this project. We realized that women have spent a lot of time in these vehicles. We looked at the busy lives of moms. We looked at vibrant women who are boomer women. We looked at primetime women who are my mom's age. And we looked at young moms, young mothers. And their interests and concerns were pretty much the same as their male counterparts, but just a little higher expectation of us meeting those goals. So we figure if we can satisfy the needs of women, we're going to satisfy everybody's needs.
Didn't answer me.
I understand. But there was one thing that I wish I could talk about on air, and we'll talk about this offline, that we did look at, you know, what's it going to take to keep that car clean? Because your car is your life.
Right.
And, yeah, but we are looking at things like that to really make that environment clean and safe for our owners.
I sure hope so, because, you know, my kids are grown too, like yours. But it's even me. You know, I have Kleenex, I have all this, and I like a clean, I like everything in place in mm-hmm. a clean car, and I take a Kroger's bag, and I use it, and sometimes it leaks, and I'm drinking tea, and I'm putting my tea bags in, and it leaks, and, you know, it's just, it's always been a problem for me. But anyways, tell me, what are WRN 20 groups?
This is kind of, a 20 group is kind of a unique thing for the auto industry. You get a group of non-competing dealers, and they share their financial statements about three times a year. So, you know, where does that ever happen, that you'd have someone who was in a similar business? But the nice thing about this group, they're very supportive of one another. We've got two groups. We're getting ready to grow to a third. And we're really trying to move the needle on their performance. And they're very frank with each other. There's a lot of mentoring, a lot of one-on-one mentoring. There's a lot of group mentoring that takes place in that forum. And it is unique because, you know, again, it's women, but they bring their managers with them. So it's never a meeting where it's just all women, but these are all women owned businesses and they're very supportive. Even in between meetings, I'm in a discussion forum with them and I see them ask questions and the whole group will come back and support them and ask them.
Your women's retail network, is that, do your salespeople and your women that work for GM, do they belong to this, those that are in retail? Is it like an association where they get together and...
So what happens is the Women's Retail Network is comprised of our women dealers, first and foremost, and then key managers. Then we have, from the GM side, we have our Women Employee Resource Group called GM Women, who acts as a support system for that group. And then we have our annual conference, but we have quarterly webinars where we will present topics in a discussion forum in addition to the 20 groups. So we're trying to bring as much professional development and networking opportunities as we can for them all year long.
Well, I'd like to thank Celeste Briggs for sharing her story with us today. And I'd like to thank all of you for listening every week and for giving me this opportunity to share these wonderful, remarkable women and their lives with you. I'm Florine Mark. Join me again next week for Remarkable Woman, and be sure to eat your fruits and vegetables.